Hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren McFarland will be along a little bit later. He's got heavy broadcast duties later today. And also, we got an injury issue. Still no update. We have an update on Roethlisberger out for the season. We're speculating Drew Brees out for 6 weeks. Is that what you're saying with the thumb surgery?
Yep.
But Darren McFarland, still no news. Still lower body.
We're chasing.
Lower body
day
to day, but could be serious. Could be serious. We'll see. We'll talk to Darren a little bit later. Now joining us to set the table for the doubleheader today going on at Bridgestone Arena, Predators and the Florida Panthers. Scott Nickel is with us. He's going to be busy throughout the day. We thank him for taking a few minutes. He is the GM of the Milwaukee Admirals. That's a good nickname for a team, the Admirals. The Admirals. And also Director of Player Development. Scotty, it's good to have you with us once again. Big day coming up today.
Yeah, it's a busy day. For sure, lots of hockey. So you got six periods of hockey. So we're excited to see what they bring today.
So six periods here, and I understand too, for the guys that aren't skating in either of the games, they had a practice over at Centennial. So you guys are really putting in the hours.
Oh yeah, lots of moving parts. We might have maybe four or five meals today. That's the plan, just because it's gonna be a long day. So no, it's good. It's a good time for camp to play against somebody else. You know, you can evaluate your guys against each other only for so much, but you still have that respect factor, and you hold up, you lay up on some hits. I want to see some of these guys go through some people, so it'll be good. It'll be good fun to watch.
I noticed yesterday there was a scrimmage. Anything that jumped out at you? Were you pleased with how it went?
Yeah, I think the pace was good. Just coming off of rookie camp, so it was good to see like the Tomasinos and the Richards and how they, you know, they had a really good rookie camp. Davies had a really good rookie camp. Fabro, with the game that he played, just to kind of see that's the next step, right? That's the, you know, we intermix with some of the veteran guys, a little bit older, some of our Milwaukee guys, so the pace is up, the rink gets a little bit tighter, and your execution gets a little, your window gets a little smaller. So, and then it's going to even get dialed up even more tonight. So it's just, It's good, the progression. It's a nice progression for some of the young kids.
Some of the guys that we talked to you about last week, like a Rem Pitlick, a Yakov Trenin, some of the guys who stood out are going to get some action in today's game. Jeremy Davies is another one. Ellie Tolvanen, of course, will be playing in one of these games. And one of the things that I heard said last week was to those guys, the message going into the big training camp, don't be timid. See if you can push some of the veterans. Don't accept that, hey, yeah, I'm working my way in, but I'm playing behind X or Y person right there. Do you want to see that tonight, Scooter? Is that something that the coaches will be watching closely to see who takes the opportunity amongst the veterans?
Yeah, for sure. It's training camp. Like, it's everyone. Doesn't matter what you're on. Every job, you know, they're there to win a spot, to you know, sell their what they have and where they fit in our organization, and try and knock one of these guys off the chair. So it's you know, and just play that. Everyone has a role and identity. That's why they're here, and they're all good players. You know, so it's like I said before, it'd be really nice to see them playing against somebody else rather than just their teammates that they've known and, you know, respect. And it's a good time. You have a couple days of practice. You have an inter squad scrimmage. It's time to put the big boy gloves on and go play some games.
Now, you are the general manager at Milwaukee, so you are probably very familiar with this guy I'm going to ask you about. But Daniel Carr was an intriguing pickup during the offseason. As good as anybody in the AHL last year, very hungry to try to get to the next level. He's played some NHL games. He's even had a few big moments of success there. So tell us about him, what you saw in him, and where he could fit in if the opportunity arises.
Well, I think he can score. That's the biggest thing. I think everybody's always looking for somebody who can score, who's on a league minimum lower contract, and that just needs some opportunity. So, and he kind of checks all those boxes. If you look at Peary from Vegas last year, that he went up on a minimum contract, scored some big goals, and scored a lot of goals for him. So we're hoping we're going to give him every chance to play with good players and put him in chances to succeed, and see if he can score at this level. And he has, He used to play for Montreal, and just on him, his limited ice time, he produced. And I think the knock on him is his skating a little bit, but he's been skating here for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And just one of those guys where the puck follows him around the zone, and he knows where to go. And when he shoots to score. If it's in practice or it's just skating around the ice before practice starts, like he has that goal scorer's mentality where he gets in that slot, he's bearing down. Doesn't matter if it's a game, practice, or men's league.
And so it looks as if Daniel Carr will be playing in the second game of two, just for people that will be coming to watch one or both of the games. Mm-hmm. And, Scooter, I want to ask you about Rocco Grimaldi, too. He's a guy that you saw some in Milwaukee last year, had a great attitude when he did not quite make the team coming out of camp. But if you listen to any of the coaches, they all said the same thing. He played well enough to make the team. He got caught in a numbers crunch, but he went to Milwaukee and excelled right away and earned his way back. We know what the rest of the story was. He turned out to be a very nice story throughout the season.
Right. And I think if you look at Rocco, they're playing at 3:30. Look at Rocco's line. You got Rocco Grimaldi with their first-round pick, Tomasino, and Anthony Richard on the right side. That line is going to be fast. They'll be like a rocket ship out there. So I'm excited to see those guys scoot around the ice and create havoc. They should at least draw two penalties, at least two hooking penalties, because they all can skate and they're exciting to watch. So there's a lot of guys in Rocco's, you know, especially this year. You know, I think Rocco is a really good example of, you know, getting an opportunity, having a really good camp, good attitude, and then going down to Milwaukee and lighting it up, and then you really have no choice but to call him up. So there's a lot of guys in Rocco's same similar situation at camp this year. So that's, they're trying to make a huge impression so the coaches and management kind of look at it and go, geez, maybe this guy could fill this role. So there's a story on almost every line. You know, with the Pitlick, he's playing with Sissons and Yarncroc. So he's getting power play time. He's getting number one line time out there. He's going to get lots of 4-on-4. He's going to play in every situation. So that's a name to look for and see how he's getting every opportunity. I think probably somebody who hasn't really had a whole lot of love is Tommy Novak. He's our third-round pick that we didn't sign to an NHL contract, but we signed him to an American League contract. And he earned himself a game today. So he's playing with Tanner Jeannot and Colin Blackwell. As we all know, Colin Blackwell is just a little pit bull on loose pucks. And so I'm excited for him. So there's so many different tiered stories going on. It's not just the high-end guys. It's the guys that, you know, signed American League contracts and wanted to show that they thought they should get NHL contracts. And he came in and had a really good camp. So that's the beauty of training camp. There's always a good story, and there's always a few that kind of slide to the wayside. But all in all, we've been very happy with everybody.
We're talking with Scott Nickel. He's the director of player development and the GM of the Milwaukee Admirals with the Nashville Predators organization. And Scott, look, we know that the goaltending situation is set here in Nashville with Pekka and UC Saros. But I'm always curious about the battles behind them, because that's just as important, because you never know what could happen. Troy Grosnick's been with the team for the last few years, but Connor Ingram is somebody that I wanted to ask you about and how he's looked so far.
He's been a, you know, kind of as advertised. We did our research on him and talked to a lot of people, and he's got elite skill, and he just had a little bit of a hiccup with the Tampa Bay's organization, and he could go under the wires, probably hopefully one of our best trades. You know, we trade him for a seventh round pick, and he's kind of got a new lease on life. And for me, in rookie camp so far, he's been my most pleasant surprise. I didn't really know what to expect him coming in. I knew he was an AHL all-star goalie and all that, but both those two guys are going to push each other between Grosnick and Ingram. And then you have Appleby that is also in that mix to push those guys. So I'm excited. Ingram Connor's come in for the really good attitude, good work ethic, and I love our goalie department. I love how they develop our goalies, how they communicate with them, and then at the end of the day, you have to believe in your people that they can help these guys. And between Ben Vanderklok and Dave Rooks, they're one of the best. And like I said, the communication is key with these guys, and they seem to really enjoy them.
I want you to know, Scott, that I pay attention. You were on with us last week, and you talked about this guy. Willie has been bringing him up quite a bit. But Igor Afanasyev, I know is going to play in the second game tonight. And I'm excited to see and hear what all this hype is about.
Igor's had a good camp. He's a young kid. He's a big left shot winger that, you know, his size and strength for a young kid is very impressive. It's just he's young, but all the execution and the pace and everything is, you know, he's getting better every single game, but he has some skill set that we don't have in this organization with just the size and the skill and how we can release the puck and get shots through. So he's going to play with Freddie Goudreau and Craigs today. So Lucas Craigs can hunt and track, and we haven't seen a whole lot of him because he had his shoulder injury, but everybody knows Freddie Goudreau. And then, so that line, that'll be an exciting line. They're playing tonight at 7 o'clock. So there's lots of good stories. There's lots of good young kids. There's some guys fighting for spots, and you got some veteran guys in here. Then you got Davies on the left side playing tonight. That he was part of the PK trade. He's been very good for us all the way through rookie development camp he came to, and then now rookie camp, and now he's going to get his first exhibition game with the Nashville Predators. So I'm very happy to see him and see what he has to do out there.
Cannot wait to get this thing started. I'm sure it's going to be a fun crowd this afternoon and this evening, and just a couple weeks away. Scott, I was looking at the dates. I kept thinking, man, it's going to be on us here quick. You know, I felt like there was another week in there, but there's not. So it's sort of time to ratchet it up, isn't it?
Yep, for sure. I think everyone's ready for it. So we got Florida tonight, and then we play Tampa back to back, I think, on Friday, Saturday. So it's there's not many games, and then you turn around and you have the season starting. So I think everybody's chomping at the bit. Nobody likes training camp, but it's nice, always nice to play a few games and get to knock the rust off and get ready for the real deal.
Well, we know you have a very busy day. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us to set the table for this afternoon and tonight. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, that's Scott Nichol, GM of the Milwaukee Admirals, Director of Player Development for the Nashville Predators, giving us a little look-see into how the lineups are shaking up. And we will give you a little bit more detail later in the show when we'll go over a couple of things that he said. Some intriguing lines, some guys to watch tonight. Some of the veterans will be in there, not a lot of them. This is sort of the day where you get a chance, if you're a young player, to get in there and play an NHL preseason game. We'll see more of the veterans as this thing unfolds.
But you know what? I like that. I like being able to see some of these young guys, like Afanasyev, because I've heard you talk about him for a week because you've been obviously a part of the rookie showcase. Scott was on with us last week and brought him up. So I'm curious to see what some of these younger guys look like as now they mix in with the veterans. So I think it'll be a fun day. And like I said, you know, come down here. The lunch special is now underway, so you can come see us, hang out, and then pregame starts at 3. The doors open at 2 before the first game at 3:30. Lots of hockey on tap today.
No question. When we come back, more from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, the familiar.
See, this is
going into the third period.
Yeah, this hits twice for me though, because I'm a wrestling fan, so I know
that's
Robert
where it originated
Roode.
From, right?
Yeah, this is Robert Roode, but I also associate it. So whenever I see Robert Roode come out, I go, "Go Preds!"
Yeah.
Third period.
Speaking of Smashville, join the game, Nashville, at the second annual Preds Fest. That's coming up Sunday, September 29th, from 2 to 6. Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent to win some awesome prizes and game gear. So we'll be a big part of it. This was a huge hit last year. I think a Moon Taxi is the headline band. That's a really good get right there. In fact, they performed at the Stanley Cup Final a couple of years ago. They've got some great stuff. So I hope a lot of people
will come
by there.
They're a Nashville band.
They
right?
are. They are. I think some Belmont ties.
Yeah, they're a Belmont crew.
Taxi. Yeah.
Oh, them and Judah cool. and the Lion doing some big things, both from Belmont.
Yeah, very cool. Good get. So mark that down. Preds Fest, September 29th. And, of course, in the meantime, we've got the doubleheader today, opening day. Both of the games here on 102.5 The Game. let's break down a couple things that Scott Nichols said, and then I have a big picture question for you,
okay,
Chase, and then we'll get back into the Titans at the bottom of the hour. First game, you mentioned the goalies. You're going to see the guys that I think are in competition to be the third goalie, right? Troy Grosnick, who was an AHL All-Star, who was the third goalie last year, never got into a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a perfect world, you hope to not have to have the third goalie, but you really have to have that guy ready to go. It's amazing
it's
how
important.
Quick you could need that guy. Troy Grosnick and Connor Ingram, who you asked Scotty Nichol about, who they traded a seventh-round pick to get him from the Tampa organization.
From Saskatoon.
Those are two very good candidates that I think are going to want to play well in this game. This is going to be a showcase. Yep. Ingram played very well in the prospect camp.
Yeah, and I mean, he's another one that we've heard a lot about. And just, you know, when you ask about a third goalie, it's not that I'm, you know, trying to send bad vibes or anything. It's just it is important. You never know when you might need that person. Troy Grosnick spent a little time with the big club last year, as you said, never went in a game. But Connor Ingram, I'm looking forward to seeing. He will be with Troy Grosnick in game number one, and then the goalies in game number two will be UC Saros, of course, and Ken Appleby as well. So we'll get to see some of these young goaltenders tonight and see what they can have. It is interesting to keep up with that third goalie competition.
In the first game, as Scott Nichol mentioned, you're going to see the first-round pick from last summer, Philip Tomasino, get a chance to play with Rocco Grimaldi. And as you were saying, you're looking for a lot of speed with that line. You've got Rem Pitlick playing with Colton Sissons. So I think that's a good opportunity. So in particular, in the first game, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Rem Pitlick looks like against a little higher level of competition, along with, I think, Grimaldi. He's got to know that he's got to win his job back, right, that he's not going to be handed a job on the opening night roster, so he's going to want to make an impact. Colin Blackwell is another guy that's going to be in the first game that pressed and was right on the bubble last year.
Yakov Trenin is one for me because he's a name we've heard for several years. For those of us that keep up with the Admirals and keep up with some of the prospects, he's been in this organization for a while now. I'm curious to see what steps he's taken.
The defenseman, you're going to see Steven Santini, who
yep.
was the other defenseman that they picked up in the P.K. Subban trade.
And could be on the third pairing opening night.
That's his goal. He's going to want to try to make a case for that fifth or sixth defenseman spot. So the defenseman in the first game, Santini, along with Yannick Weber. Jared Tonorti, who's another pickup. Now, he's a big guy who's got a little toughness element to him. Physicality is 6'6", 229. He's in there tonight. Matt Irwin is in there. He's fighting to keep his job. And Frederick Allard, who has been in the Milwaukee chain for a good while now and slowly getting a little bit older, getting a little more wise, played well in the rookie camp, but this is a big year for him to try to make a jump. And, yes, you've got one of the big four in the first game in Matthias Ekholm. In the second game, Ryan Ellis and Dan Hamhuis are on D. Jeremy Davies, who is, of course, the other player in the P.K. Subban trade who has drawn a lot of big-time reviews so far. I think a lot of people will be focused on him tonight. Alex Carrier, who, as we mentioned, is kind of in that same boat as Yakov Trenin. Been in the system for a while, needs to make a jump, but is getting better. Matt Donovan, who was kind of that extra veteran that they brought in, played a few games last year when there's some injuries. Dante Fabro will be in the lineup tonight as well on
D. He's pretty good. We've heard about him.
Yeah. The key for him is how good, right? Yeah. Can he play in the top four? It's one thing to say
paired...
he can play in the NHL. I think he's proven he can do that. But can he handle the responsibility of being in the top four, where you're playing not only every night, but you're playing big minutes against good competition? That's the next step for him.
And I'm not a coach, but I see Ryan Ellis in the lineup. I would think Dante Fabro, Ryan Ellis paired together.
Don't know.
Dan Hamhuis he's played with, so there's some familiarity.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well. It'll be interesting to see how they decide.
And look.
Because Jeremy Davies is a guy that is very active.
Yeah.
That, you could put him with a steady guy like Dan Hamhuis.
Or Ellis. I mean, you could almost go with go with Hamus and Fabro since they have familiarity, and then Davies and Ellis. But look, it's the preseason.
Davies and
Fabro
played together in the rookie tournament too, and had a dominating game against Tampa Bay. So they might try it that way.
You're going to see a lot of mixing and matching.
Yeah, Ellie Tolvanen is in the second game.
Yep.
Scott Nickel mentioned Daniel Carr. That's another guy to keep your eye on. But Tolvanen, I want to see if I see that fire again, that drive of you are going to notice me. You're going to have trouble not keeping me on this roster.
And more than just scoring goals, because we know he can score goals. It's the other stuff that you want to see out of him as well.
Yeah.
And I kind of relate him, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I relate him to a young Alexander Radulov when he first came up. You knew the goal-scoring part was there. It's just finding the other things that you have to do as well.
Kyle Turris is in there tonight in the second game, and that is
Craig
a guy
Smith.
And I saw Kyle Turris was working on the wing at practice the last day or two, so that's something that they may take a longer look at, because somewhere along the line here, some of these centers are going to have to slide over the wing. We know Yarncroke does it with regularity. Colton Sissons does it with regularity. Even Austin Watson can play center. But I'm curious to see if Kyle Turris is comfortable enough on the wing, because that could end up being an option of moving him up in the lineup some to give you some more flexibility of what to do with your bottom six.
Well, I would think tonight, looking at the lineup, Kyle Turris would probably center a line. Craig Smith is going to be in there. Mikhail Granlund is going to be in there that he has played with. You mentioned Ellie Tolvanen. So I'm curious to see what the line combinations look like, because true centers that are listed, Laurent Dauphin is one, Josh Wilkins, and then Freddie Gaudreau.
Yeah. So we'll try to get you the combinations more definitively.
No morning skate today, I believe.
No morning skate.
They've had a practice with some of the players that aren't playing tonight, but it's not a typical game day, seeing as it's going to be a doubleheader.
Now, real quick, here's my big picture question for you.
Okay.
How quick can this team and really everybody around them shake off last year, maybe use it as motivation, and sort of turn the page and say, this is a new journey, this is a new adventure. Forget about what happened last year. I wonder what's the best way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Is it to carry the pain as a chip on your shoulder, or is it basically, hey, we're still really good, but this is brand new. This is a new adventure. Forget about what happened last year. Either way, I think, is a way that people have gone before, but there's a lot of teams. I would put Toronto in this book. Obviously Tampa Bay, right, who had the playoff pain last year. The Winnipeg Jets. I mean, there's so many really good teams like the Predators that felt like they had a chance the whole season. They got beat in the first round. And also had a bad taste in their mind leaving the first round. The Pittsburgh Penguins. They got beat bad in the first round. Right? How do you carry that? How do you use that to your advantage?
I think you have to it's an individual player. I mean, Roman Josi may handle it differently than Ryan Johansson. Pecorine may handle it differently than Ryan Ellis. It just you kind of have to do whatever works for you. I think some of these guys are going to carry that chip on their shoulder because that's just how they play the game. That's their mentality. I think others are like, you know what? I can't control the paths, so I'm going to move on, and I'm going to go out and look at this team. And you have a lot of the core players that are back, because that's something that David Poile has tried to do. But you have PK Subban that's gone, and You have Matt Duchene that's in. So the team is different. The team is going to look different, even though some of the players are the same. You have a new assistant coach that is being added to the group. You didn't lose any coaches. So there are going to be some differences, and I think that this team just kind of have to rally around that and look at it as a new season. It's a long season. And how many times last year, Willie, did we hear national analysts that we would have on the show say, you know, this is a team that looks like they're just – trying to get to the playoffs. I think there has to be more of an emphasis, like there was 2 years ago when they won the President's Trophy, on performing well in the regular season and then carrying that over to the postseason.
One thing on that I've heard David Poile say on our show, and I've heard others echo it, I would not doubt that is Peter Laviolette's part of his big picture motive, is enjoy the ride.
Yes.
Enjoy the process a little bit more. I think to a man, they all said, you know, that they did get kind of caught up in, hey, why isn't it going as smooth last year? Or are they just waiting for the postseason? All that stuff. they did a lot of good things last year. They had more points last year than they did when they went to the Stanley Cup final. So it wasn't a bad year. They had 100 points and they won the Central, but it didn't seem as enjoyable. So I think that's something that they – I'm curious to hear more of, if you hear more of that creeping up.
I think having a different voice in Matt Duchene in the locker room could pay dividends as well.
Let's get the Bicycle Boy real quickly. He's got a Predators question here. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Hey, fellas. Great to have hockey getting going again. Here's something I just thought about with this, like the preseason thing and bringing in, you know, a lot of the rookies and the prospects. In the old days, they used to have like old-timers games. Are we at the point now where the Preds could actually have an old-timers game and bring back, you know, Stevie Sullivan and Bocoon and guys like that?
Yeah, I actually, it's not something the Predators have ever done before, and I thank you for the call, Bicycle Boy. I think you're going to hear a lot about alumni league-wide. You notice that the video game has got an alumni team, and I think during the Winter Classic there's always alumni stuff.
But there's not going to be a game.
It won't be a game this year.
Yeah. I know they've had alumni games in the past here that Mace and Stu Grimson and Hal.
Right, a mix of teams. Yeah.
Yeah. And Mace and Hal do a great job with the alums. You know, Adam Hall was here for Petey's party last week. So maybe. I mean, the team definitely has alums now, and you could field a pretty good team with some of the players of the past. But it's also hard because a lot of these guys are working for other organizations. Stevie Sullivan's with the Coyotes, I believe. Is that correct? Any the assistant general manager for them?
So I think he's more of the Scott Nickel.
Yeah. So it's hard to
player development.
You know, get some of these guys together. But good question.
Yeah, they'll be doing a lot with alumni. I just don't know if it's going to be in the preseason. Big news of the day, Ben Roethlisberger out for the season, elbow surgery. Drew Brees out for 6 weeks with thumb surgery. So big-name quarterbacks going down already. Nick Foles had been down. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have been hurt around the league. When we come back, we'll switch our attention back to football. Stay tuned. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're at Pete and Terry's. Coming up in our next segment, get ready to hit the phones because we have not Sticks tickets, although this is a great song. We have a pair of tickets to see Deep Purple for their farewell tour
at
T-Pac's Jackson Hall, Monday, September 30th. So that's coming up in the next segment. And this is what I know. So make sure you hit the phones for that. Plenty of material. To work with, especially when you look at the Titans. So a couple of Titans questions here.
I love Twitter, by the way, because I put one of those questions out on my Twitter at Chase on Game, and it's getting good answers already.
Okay, so let's start with a question that will be top of mind for a lot of teams today, because let's just take the Pittsburgh Steelers. They came in here in the Rumble on the River. The Rumble on the River, the preseason game. And if you watch the broadcast, which I did, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, one of the things the Steelers told them was they loved Mason Rudolph and Josh Dobbs. They thought they could both play in the league. They chose Mason Rudolph. Now Roethlisberger is hurt out for the season. So now I wonder if they're thinking, oh, man, wish we could have stashed Dobbs somehow. But they don't have Dobbs. Dobbs is in Jacksonville. Now they got to go find a backup.
Yeah.
And they got to ask themselves, is Mason Rudolph the answer? Can we win with him? They're going to find out soon enough. Drew Brees is out for 6 weeks. We saw Teddy Bridgewater. He had some success. We'll see how it goes.
And they have Taysom Hill, too, that they can use.
Right, they've got him.
For different things. So I think the Saints are okay with their situation. It's the Steelers that you have to look at. It's not a good year so far in 2 weeks for starting quarterbacks.
Dropping like flies. If you add Foles and if you count Andrew Luck's retirement as part of this, where suddenly you don't have your starter, it's kind of the same principle. So, with that in mind, Chase, you brought up a question.
Look, you have to ask the question too. And I tweeted it out at Chase on Game. If Pittsburgh or one of these teams that is without a starting quarterback call the Titans and they ask about Ryan Tannehill. That's the one I'm saying. You ask about Ryan Tannehill. He's the backup. what happens? What do? Do you float the idea of if you can get something of need, even though we know that Marcus Mariota is injury prone? After yesterday, you have people going like, you know, are they going to go to Tannehill at some point? Do you consider getting some assets in return for a guy that could start?
Well, what would be, in your mind, an asset you would consider?
I think getting draft picks doesn't really do you necessarily any good right now because you're in win-now mode. Draft picks are obviously for the future. So I would look at, you know, do one of these teams have an offensive lineman that's going to help make this line better that you can plug in right away? Is that something you look at? You can always look at pass rush, even though I think the Titans' defense, you're not wanting to mix up too much there. It would have to be offensive line for me is the biggest
thing. Honestly, I would have to be blown away to even consider it because we know the history of Mariota with his injuries. We also have a performance from Marcus Mariota that was subpar that has you believing quarterback play has to be better. And I think you have a team that is trying to win right now. If you were to trade Tannehill, then you're back to where you were the last couple of years. You have no backup. You have no backup. You don't even have a guy that you've developed. I guess you would have the kid Woodside that played, but he's not. I'm not ready to have him be the backup.
No.
So to me, it's a not. It illustrates how important the acquisition of Tannehill is.
Yes.
So unless you're talking about somebody that's desperate and is going to way overpay to get Tannehill, I am not considering it. I've got to be blown away. Or there's got to be a guy who I think I could plug right in as my right guard. That's a major upgrade, but I don't see that happening. So, I think it's more valuable to have Tannehill, especially coming off of what happened yesterday.
I've gotten at least three, maybe four responses that say give them Mariota instead. So you have those people. I have some people that are like, don't even, you know, I hang up the phone. I don't even consider it.
Yeah.
And keep this in mind. When I ask a question like this, I know the answer. Okay. It's rhetorical. I'm asking it because it's top of mind. It's out there of, okay, you got starting quarterbacks that are falling. The Saints, I think they're in good shape. They have Teddy Bridgewater. There's a reason that they kept him. They could have traded him and probably gotten something for him in the offseason.
Yeah.
And they brought him back.
I think he wanted to stay.
Yeah, too. He wanted to stay, so they brought him back. So, look, it's Pittsburgh that could be in trouble. They're going to go with Mason Rudolph. There's a reason that they've hung on to him. But I don't think they should do it. I think you got to keep Tannehill. If you have to turn to Tannehill, he's probably the best backup in the league. You feel better about going that route if Marcus gets hurt. I'm not ready to walk away from Marcus yet after one game. I have questions that I've had since the season started. But you can't just say, we're done, and walk away. He's got to make plays, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were talking about earlier with Teron.
Let's call it like it is. He is one more game like this away from the question coming up pretty hard in the media. Is it time to try or at least give him the quick hook and use Tannehill? See what it looks like with him. He's one game away from that.
Yep.
Right? I'm not ready to go there now. Mariota's going to get another crack at it Thursday. I like how he handled himself after the game. That's never been the question. He put it on himself. He said, I didn't do as well as I needed to do. So he gets a chance to redeem himself on Thursday. But if that doesn't go well, I do think the question is going to come up, right? And you can't get away from this. With the roster the way it is, and all the guys who are in the last year of their contract, including the quarterbacks, this is a year you got to win.
Yep.
You're not playing for next year. You're not playing for the following year. You got to win this year. You're going to need both of these quarterbacks before the year's over, one way or the other, I think.
Here is Marcus, his stats through the first two games. We know he's 1-1. 33 of 52. That's a 63.5 completion percentage. You want to see that go up. You want to see that number go up for 402 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. So
it's ironic. We're talking about four touchdowns and no interceptions.
Yeah.
When everybody was so fixated on the touchdown pass number being so low last year.
He had 11 all of last year.
I know, but it shows you that it's not always in the touchdown passes that tells you the story.
Right.
Of a guy's being effective or not. He was very effective and efficient in the first game. Could have been better, but he got the job done in the first game. Yesterday, he needed to be better for them to win.
His completion percentage last year was almost 69%. It was 68.9. His career is 63.2. That's where he's hovering around right now. So you need to see him complete more passes, and that goes into the things that we're looking at with him of, okay, finding these wide-open guys that he's missing, not overthrowing passes like he's been known to do. Teron showed me a breakdown earlier of the first play of the game where Delanie Walker was wide open.
Oh, yeah, he's got a seam, and he's going to get a big play.
And when you see the breakdown, you get even more frustrated. Right. Of why he didn't make that play.
Right, and yet there's a point in the game where Marcus Mariota is 16 for 19, so the completion percentage is fine. But it's not all just that, too. It's also what are you getting out of those completions. Yeah. He only had 122 yards, which is to a degree what the defense was giving him, which is fine. But after that, it didn't go as well. His percentage went down. The key passes, the key plays where he took sacks, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. It goes beyond the basic numbers that we look at for fantasy purposes. So, certainly a lot of questions to be answered on Thursday night. When we come back, it'll be time for This Is What I Know.
I have a feeling a lot of Titans fans know
something. Hit the phones. Don't waste any time because this is going to be a quick segment. Then we go to Knoxville at noon. 737-1025. Jump on in. We take your phone calls next. Tell us what you know here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
You just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Oh, there is so much to know. So much to talk about here on this Monday. We've got the doubleheader coming up later. Predators and Panthers. A new journey begins. Right now, we also have This Is What I Know, your opportunity to win Deep Purple tickets. The farewell tour at TPAC, Monday, September 30th. But hit the phone, 737-1025. This is a short window. Jump on in there. All kinds of discussion about the Titans. And This Is What I Know, Chase. Mike Vrabel hit it on the head in his post-game press conference. The number one concern this week, when you play a brutally hot game, and it was hot, the hottest on record, and you got to come back on Thursday, it's a lot easier to mentally and physically recover when you win the game. But so you have a physical test of being on a short week where you're not even in great condition yet. Your starters didn't play a lot during the preseason. And you have the mental anguish of losing a game you feel like you should have won. And I do believe that was in this case. They feel like they should have won
the Colts,
the game.
The Colts didn't win this game. The Titans lost.
Well, the Colts didn't beat themselves.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they turned the ball over twice. And on top of that, the Titans weren't good enough to go take it. That's going to sting. Right? So this is a huge mental challenge for this group. If they win the game on Thursday, you're still right on course. With three of your first four games on the road, no worse than 2-2, you take that.
Yeah.
But if they lose, it's a whole different story. So it's a giant game. And with what we said, the weather, the heat, and the fact that it was a frustrating loss, Mike Vrabel's right on it.
615-737-1025. What do you know?
Line's open. Let's
Deep
go.
Deep Purple tickets on the line. Willie, this is what I know. I got a little emotional yesterday at halftime.
Did you?
It had great memories and all of us that were in the press box, I was sitting there with Marquise Munson and D-Mace was there. We were watching some old clips of Steve McNair and Eddie George on YouTube. Derek Mason was featured in a lot of those back in the day. But to see the families of both Steve McNair and Eddie George and former teammates, Derek had the new Titans jersey with the 85 and Mason on it that the team had given him. Chris Sanders was there. I saw Zach Piller, Mike Archie, Jeff Fisher was in the house. A lot of nostalgia. And, it was a very cool moment. Very well done by the organization to retire the number 9 and the number 27. And, by the way, and I know Teron, who's still here, he's going to agree with me because I saw his picture. Eddie George, you see the jacket?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the liner inside the jacket?
I did not.
It was fire. He had an Oilers jersey and a Titans jersey with the 27s and George that were actual jerseys that were made into his jacket liner. He looked good yesterday.
Nice.
And also, security, if the guy that's having his number retired wants to bring his water bottle in, don't question him. Just saying.
Probably ought to know who he
just
is.
Just saying.
But, and I heard that was part of a bigger issue. It was not easy to get into the stadium yesterday. Not just for Eddie, but for all. Is that fair to say?
Yes. His face is on the building. I mean, you should probably know who Eddie
George
is.
But that's different than people had trouble getting into the stadium. But I heard that was an issue,
look,
too.
Yeah, look, I will take it. Like, if I have trouble, like, that's fine. I'll take it. But not Eddie.
Yeah, not Eddie. 737-1025. Let's go to the phones. Wes is up first. Tell us what you know, Wes.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was at the game yesterday, and I'll say Marcus is a great person, great teammate, great in the locker room. But watching that game, it just all reminded me of Matt Leinart. And I think he's Matt Leinart 2.0. And I think after his 5 years in the NFL, he's just not going to be able to take us where we need to go. And you can pull up Matt Leinart's career stats and compare them to Marcus's, I think you're going to find a lot of similarities, and that's what I know.
Got you, Wes. 737-1025, we've got the Deep Purple tickets for the best call. With all due respect to Matt Leinart, Mariota has gone way past what Leinart did. Leinart was never close to what Mariota has done, but I see the point. You want to see better. I think Marcus Mariota knows he's got to play better. He knows it. But that was a classic. If you are one that has doubts about Mariota, you have a lot of material now after yesterday.
Yes.
Right? And it was not a game where he made the huge mistake, the bad interception or the fumble. It was just the plays that he didn't make, right, that appeared to be there when you slowed down the tape. All right, back to the phones. What are you telling me, Max? Are we ready to go?
Yep.
All right, let's go to Dennis, who is up next. Dennis, welcome in to 102.5 The Game. Tell us what you know.
Hey, Willie. Hey, man, you still enjoying your Scott Hartnell bobblehead that I give you?
Yes, it is still on display. Even though we've had the overhaul to the studio, we still have the Hartnell bobblehead. Yes, it was a sad moment in the show history. I broke the original.
That was
one.
Hilarious, though, because we had Hartsy on to give you
a
hard time of
it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Here's mine. I know it's only been a year or so with Mike Vrabel, but here's what I know. I don't see much of a difference in the team offensively or defensively from the previous coach, whose name is just, I don't like him, Mike Mularkey. I see no difference in the team between Mike Mularkey and you know, our boy that we got now. I don't see any difference in anything offensively or defensively.
All right, Dennis. Thanks, Dennis. Thank you very much. Until they get to another level, then that tag is going to be out there. I like their roster better. I like Vrabel as a coach, but I can see that's going to be a theme until they are able to maybe rip off two or three straight wins and have people really believing and seeing results that give you the feeling that they've moved ahead.
This goes back to the overall argument with everything involving the Tennessee Titans. I do see a difference because I like Dean Pease's defense a lot better. And look,
I like
Dick
the
LeBeau,
players he has a lot better.
Dick LeBeau is a Hall of Famer, but number one, he has better players. He has more to work with. But I like the defensive scheme with this team. I like Arthur Smith and Matt LaFleur. You'll give him some credit too. I like this offense better, but you're targeting maybe the right person because there are some coaching decisions that Vrabel has made that I question. But you also have to look at the quarterback, the guy that's running it. I mean, stop making excuses for him.
But what's that got to do with the coach, him or Mularkey?
He's blaming – he's saying that Mike Vrabel's team and the offense, it looks like Mularkey's. Well, what's the common denominator in all of that?
I'll tell you what, it's hard to argue because I do think the roster is better. The roster is better. That's the biggest positive, is that Derrick Henry looks like he's taking a step forward. I like how they're using him. There were plays there. They've got more people, especially with Brown, even though he didn't make the last catch. They've got more people who can make a play.
Yeah.
Humphreys is there. Delanie Walker is back. Corey Davis is there. And you're asking yourself, why don't get these guys could handle more, right? Get them the ball more. You can't get everybody the ball. But you've got to make the play. But I think they have a higher ceiling on this offense. But you've got to have the quarterback.
And I think Vrabel got out-coached yesterday, but it's not all on him.
Let's go to Antonio. Antonio, welcome in. Tell us what you know.
Hey, this is what I know. Nashville, Tennessee has the number one bodybuilder in the world. If you don't know, Brandon Curry, right here from Nashville, Tennessee, went to Hunters Lane High School, went to college at MTSU, won the 2019 Miss Olympia. So he is the number one bodybuilder in the world. So if you're on Instagram or Facebook, go follow him. Go check him out. His name is Brandon Curry. That's what I know.
Hey, Antonio, do you think the Titans should handle, should hire him and be the Titan guy on the sideline?
We lost him. Lost Antonio.
Side gig for him?
Yeah. That'd be good.
I always like the guy that's jacked up and he's always like doing curls. He's in the gladiator type.
Yeah, and they
costume.
have a new person that they debuted yesterday.
All right. Well, maybe they need to have this guy. Let's get Ryan in real quick before the buzzer. Ryan, last up. Tell us what you know.
That is what I know. Defense looks good. You know I'm a Packers fan, so thank you so much for our new head coach. But Mariota is not a quarterback. I'm sorry. He is scared. He gets quick feet. He gets scared quickly when you put pressure on him. He got sacked, what, 5 times yesterday? I know you guys are missing Lawan, but he's got to take the initiative. He's got to step up. The defense looks good. Don't get me wrong. I love the Titans defense. But he's got to step up on offense and get to more weapons like he did in week 1 against Cleveland and not just be an up-and-down roller coaster ride the entire season.
Gotcha. Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. Looking forward, I'm sure,
to
seeing you later.
I didn't know he was a Packers fan, but I do now.
Yeah, that was a tough one yesterday. Okay, when we come back, we'll go to Knoxville. They got to win. They did what they were supposed to do against the Mocs. We'll talk to Vince Ferrara about it. We'll also tell you who won the Deep Purple tickets, and we'll get back into the Titans discussion at 12:30. Stay tuned. We're here at high noon from Pete and Terry's Tavern here at Bridgestone Arena, 3:30. Predators and Panthers, and then 7 o'clock for game 2. We're playing 2. Stay tuned. This is 102.5 The Game.